Such a Pretty House and Such a Pretty Garden, written by Five Centuries Verse, read by Maggie Jolly. Summary: in which Eddie is stuck in suburbia with a Steve who mows the garden shirtless and insists on wearing short shorts. Steve has little red marks on the backs of his heels from old blisters or something, and above that, on the soft flesh of his hairy chin, a little black mole. It's frightening to know these things about Steve. Eddie doesn't know what to do with it. He feels like he should tell someone. The gossip rack down at Hawkins High, who are still inexplicably, or perhaps justifiably, interested in Steve Harrington. Steve's curled up in a chair now, reading glasses on his nose and a little frown on his face. Reading their bills or taxes or something. Eddie and Robin have been banned by him from getting involved in all of that. Heels and moles on display for the whole world to see. People shouldn't be allowed to see Steve like that. Someone needs to tell the press. It's a national concern. His hair is being all... Eddie slams his mug down on the counter and scurries out, slamming the door after himself. Awful. Notes: Mac and Dennis move to the suburbs, but instead of going insane, Eddie just goes insane with lust. Title from No Surprises by Radiohead. Steve has little red marks on the backs of his heels from old blisters or something, and above that, on the soft flesh of his hairy shin, a little black mole. It's frightening to know these things about Steve. Eddie doesn't know what to do with it. He feels like he should tell someone, the gossip rack down at Hawkins High, who are still inexplicably, or perhaps justifiably, interested in Steve Harrington. Steve's curled up in a chair now, reading glasses on his nose and a little frown on his face, reading their bills or taxes or something. Eddie and Robin have been banned by him from getting involved in all of that. Heels and moles on display for the whole world to see. Eddie watches him over his cup of coffee, leaning against the kitchen counter. "I'm going to work now," he says finally, when he can't take any more of Steve being... whatever Steve is... whatever. "Steve?" He hums, glances at him quick over his reading glasses. "Bye." "Yeah," says Eddie, heart in his throat. "Bye." People shouldn't be allowed to see Steve like this. Someone needs to tell the press. It's a national concern. His hair being all... Eddie slams his mug down on the counter and scurries out, slamming the door after himself. Awful. He gets into his van on the distressingly suburban road and wishes Robin wasn't at college because she can be counted on to slap some sense into him. Or maybe she wouldn't. She's been beating him over the head with it the whole summer before she'd left. Flipping from... "You're both gay, just go for it, loser," to, "I don't know, Eddie, depends how much you value your friendship," every 5 minutes, which was disastrously unhelpful. Actually, fuck Robin. She had made everything a whole lot harder to deal with when she made him face his feelings, or however the fuck she'd put it, and he makes a mental note to tell her in no uncertain terms that their friendship is over the next time she calls them. He stamps his forehead on the steering wheel a few times to clear the distractingly non-metal thoughts about the freckle on Steve's top lip and this little scar on the back of his middle finger that Eddie's eyes are always drawn to whenever Steve flips him off. Jesus. He drives to work, thoughts absolutely not dispelled, and actually gathering thicker than Eddie believes is strictly necessary on a Tuesday morning. Is it weird to tuck in someone's shirt tag? Eddie glares at the offending little flick of white up the back of Steve's neck over the top of campaign guide, as Steve potters around the living room and kitchen dusting things. It's probably really weird to just get up and do it. Like, he can't just stand up and go flick it under, he'd probably feel the warmth of Steve's neck under his fingers. Maybe he should just tell Steve. But is it weird that he notices at all? His fingers are itching. "You're a regular housewife," he says to break the silence. He sees Steve scowl at him out of the corner of his eye. "Dustin and Will are practically allergic to dust, but if you want to host the campaign for the snottiest knights in their kingdom, then..." Eddie snorts. Steve brandishes the green feather duster at him. "Don't laugh!" "What? I didn't!" You did. I just heard you. The phone rings, breaking off what could have been a truly spectacular argument about nothing, and Steve scowls at him before going to answer it. He leans his shoulder against the wall, facing away from Eddie, and now all he can stare at is the offending little slip of white against the tan of Steve's neck. He peels his eyes away, resolutely, back to the campaign guide. He doesn't know how he got here. Suburbia with Steve Harrington. Ridiculous. The memory of Steve and Robin, but mostly the memory of Steve, asking him to move in with them for rent reasons still haunts him. You should have said no, says the voice at the top of his spine, which wavers between pitching over the cliff of doomed love and tearing in the other direction every other day. Then this wouldn't have happened. But no, here he is, listening to Steve argue with telemarketers, with a feather duster over his shoulder like his nail bed used to be. Seeing him use that bad boy against Vecna is another memory of Steve that haunts him. In their white picket Hawkins house, which gets cold in the winter and sounds like there's a ghoul in the pipes if you dare to run into hot water. My vacuum cleaner is fine, says Steve. Before Eddie knows what he's doing, he's standing up, walking across the room and pinching the phone out of Steve's hand to slam it down. Stop entertaining them. And then, because he's apparently been possessed by the pipe ghoul, he flips the tag of Steve's shirt down. His knuckles touch the warmth of Steve's neck. Just for a moment. Tag, sorry, it was pissing me off. Thanks, Steve says as cocked at him. Eddie can't take it anymore. He walks out of the room. Suburbia is eternal torment. Sundays are torment. The world is torment. Steve wipes the back of his wrist over his brow, at least grass stains. The garden smells of mown lawn. Steve is shirtless. Suburban torment. Small town hellscape. Shit, Eddie should start writing these down for Corroded Coffin. Did you send out an invitation to all the cougars? Eddie asked. If you didn't, they'll be mad. I don't think they knew you were doing a landscaper-themed striptease this afternoon. His cheeks are sun-flushed, sweet little burn over his nose like one of those cutesy white rabbits illustrated on the Happy Easter cards nobody ever buys. He rolls his eyes. Shut up, man. Could have at least invited me, says the voice, obviously teetering on the edge of a swan dive into the gnashing teeth of lust today. I didn't know that operating a lawnmower while wearing a shirt was against code. Steve grins, shaking his head, leaning over the handlebar of the lawnmower. He looks like he's on the cover of one of those gay porno magazines that Eddie has never owned. Ever. Promise. Seriously, shut up. You've broken me, Eddie hisses to Robin down the phone, watching as Steve sings some Beatles and stirs the pasta sauce. He can't do anything without me objectifying him. She snorts loudly. Uh-oh, Eddie. Shut up! He's doing little wiggle dancing to the Beatles! Go and smack him on the ass! No! So scandalized. So Puritan, she says. I thought you were the metal lead singer of a band. I thought you were the devil who walks on Hawkins. Steve says, what happened to Robin? I think the electricity went out in her college building again, says Eddie darkly, glaring down the corridor at the off-the-hook phone. Steve's frying eggs while wearing only a dressing gown. Only. Eddie's losing his mind. His hair is wet on his forehead. He's humming Love Machine by Bam. There's only so much of this Eddie can take. Who allowed Steve Harrington to buy short shorts and tank tops? There should be a certain sort of guy you don't allow to buy those, especially if he's looking sun-kissed and pretty. Illegal in 50 states. Dangerous for heart rates. Cougars are probably having strokes, just looking out of their windows down into Steve's and Eddie's garden where he's sunbathing. Eddie retreats into the dark of the house, feeling vampiric, both in the bitey and the anti-sunlight way. Did you update his wardrobe before you left? Robin sighs. What? He's wearing skimpy clothes. You're being paranoid. Buckley, Munson. It's killing me, Eddie says. Genuinely. Sing-song, Robin tells him to tell Steve how he feels. Eddie hangs up. Sometimes, after work, before he walks back into the house, he has to sit in his van for a while and try to brain himself with the steering wheel. Steve molds, Steve wrinkles, Steve hair, Steve hands. It's insane. He's insane. Everything is awful in suburbia. You should never have agreed, agrees the voice, which has inched back a safe distance and is now eyeing the cliff edge with apprehension. He has nice eyes, wheedles another voice, about 5 meters beyond the abyss, hovering in mid-air like Wile E. Coyote about to drop. God, it's awful. Steve does the crossword on Sunday mornings. Like Eddie said, fuck Sundays. With his reading glasses perched on his nose and the paper folded on his knee, pencil tapping against his lips, frowning with focus at the puzzle. Eddie pretends he doesn't watch, but it's hard not to stare, and the squinted eyes, and the reddened angle, and the span of his hand smoothing out the page. God, it's hard not to stare. What? Asks Steve, looking over his glasses. Nothing, Eddie sighs and sips on his coffee, goes back to his book. It's something, Steve says, and now his eyes are narrowed, pencil pressed to his lips. What? Just stop being so... He waves a hand. What are you doing? Screeches the voice, scrabbling back from the edge of the cliff. Steve's grinning at him, somewhere between confusion and amusement. Which should be the definition of bemusement. Eddie's got beef with the definition of bemusement. So what? Don't you dare, howls the voice, digging in its metaphorical fingernails to the metaphorical dry grass at the edge of the metaphorical cliff. Words fail him anyway. Nothing, ignore me. He shakes his head, grinning down at his newspaper. I was going to mow the lawn today. Okay. It's pretty hot, Steve adds. Very sunny. Looks like it will be, yeah? Probably have to do it shirtless. Eddie drops his book in his lap. He's not read a word. He's not sure what book it even is. What are you doing? He shrugs, long and languid, eyes not leaving his paper. You said I had to inform the cougars next time. I'm not a cougar, Eddie points out. Interested party, though, says Steve, brightly. Oh no, says the voice miserably, stops fighting and lets itself fall off the edge of the cliff. Don't know where you... Steve shoots him a look. It's only mutual if you grow a pair of balls and ask me on a proper date. So prim, so proper. Eddie can only stare. Fuck you, he finds himself saying. He grins delightedly and returns to his paper. Eddie Munson is going to die in suburbia because of Steve Harrington. The voice at the bottom of the cliff wails and laments the lack of carabiners and climbing ropes. There's nothing he can do. He can see the little scar on the back of Steve's middle finger. Psychiatric ward, submit you for less. He's a slut. Robin laughs at him from many miles away. Eddie resolves to mention her repeatedly in any of the related therapy he has to undergo because of this fucking house, until his therapist blames her for it all, too.